It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Carbon capture and sequestration. Can it save the coal industry and the planet from climate change?
Coal is so abundant, it is so inexpensive, it is so energy dense that someone is going to use it. And the issue isn't whether we're going to have coal or not. The issue is whether we're going to continue to use it in a way that kills the planet. And we have a choice.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. And this morning we bring you a story about our continuing series about how the towns of Grafton and Matewan are turning themselves around through a special collaborative project. As Beneduccio reports, a recent town meeting in Grafton allowed residents to discuss projects they would like to work on.
Grafton is the county seat of Taylor County, and it has a population of 5,000. It's one of the two towns in the state selected as part of the Turn This Town Around project. Matewan and Mingo County is the other. These towns over the next year will be going through a makeover, so to speak, by members of the community to make the towns look better.
You should not be writing down a bold idea yet. You should just be having... It's okay.
At a recent community meeting, leaders of the Grafton Turn This Town Around project asked the 131 people who attended to brainstorm about short-term, immediate, and long-term revitalization projects. One of the long-term projects suggested is a new entertainment park near Tigert Lake, which would host a state-of-the-art movie theater. Members of the community saw it as an ambitious but interesting idea.
Laser light show section, fireworks when necessary. Number three, a brand new drive-in screen with the latest cinematographic technology to show latest releases. Hopefully all at or near Tigert Lake.
We gotta save the lake first.
So a pretty serious entertainment complex.
It was a high-energy meeting. People wanted to discuss and share ideas, no matter their age.
Another 24. Yes, sir.
Reopen the Manos Theater.
Reopen the theater.
Yep.
A lot of people saying, feel free to nod your head and say yes. Another one in back.
Monthly farmer's market.
A monthly farmer's market.
Grafton has its own community improvement coach in Eric Pories.
Yes, ma'am.
He helps facilitate discussion in the community meetings and works to get discussion going.
Communities are made up of people, right? Not buildings. They're made up of people. And people have their own stories, right? Each of you probably came here with some of your own ideas on how to turn this town around. Well, one thing that we need to do, any community that turns itself around, has strength, again, in partnerships, strength in relationships.
Residents voted on what projects they would like to see and work on. The votes were compiled by representatives from West Virginia Community Hub. Some of the most popular ideas included implementing a community garden, restoring an historic hotel in downtown Grafton to its former glory, and establishing a walking trail. Kent Spellman with West Virginia Community Hub says ideas are fantastic, but executing these ideas is even more important.
This, tonight, is about what am I willing to do? So if you want to get engaged in a project, be aware that there may be consequences. Okay? So think about projects that you're willing to invest your heart and your energy into. We want you to get up on your feet and be engaged. This process doesn't work if you just sit back and watch. Community development is not a spectator sport. You have to be involved. You have to own this process.
Spellman says although the Turn This Town Around project is a year-long program, it may take longer than that to turn Grafton around. And he says that's perfectly fine.
West Virginians are really proud of their ability to survive. Isn't that right? They're really proud of being able to survive. Well, I'm going to challenge you to change that thinking. I'm going to challenge you to say, it's time to stop being proud of surviving and start being proud of thriving. And that's what we're going to try to start the process of doing here in Grafton and in Matewan, is to get the ball rolling. It's not going to happen in a year. We know that. But to get the ball rolling so that 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, you can look at Grafton and you can say, you remember how this got started?
Grafton will conduct a community cleanup day as part of its process scheduled this weekend. That's an important weekend for Grafton, as Mother's Day began there back in 1908. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Grafton.
The Turn This Town Around project is a collaboration between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Focus Magazine, along with the West Virginia Community Development Hub. Also this week, we'll have a story from Matewan's Turn This Town Around project. For more information, visit our website at wvpublic.org. Well, for about a decade, the doors to the Rose Garden Theater, once known as the Robinson Grand in downtown Clarksburg, have been closed. The lights darkened on the marquee, the windows boarded. But the story has taken a turn for this historic theater, adored by so many in north central West Virginia, and the spotlights may once again have reason to shine. Ashton Mara has the story.
I met Tim Secreto in the pouring rain on West Pike Street in Clarksburg. In his jeans, work boots, and city sweatshirt, he walked me through the glass doors that have been locked for some 10 years now. Doors that led to the faded magenta and key lime striped carpet, with a pale pink stand for a ticket collector sitting at the top of the slope, right before the double entrances to the Grand Theater itself. At one time, the Robinson Grand was the center of culture in Clarksburg. Built in 1912, it's known for being the 13th theater in the U.S. to be equipped with sound, rumored to have happened because of a connection the theater's owner had to Warner Studios in Hollywood. It housed movies, plays, dance recitals, ballroom classes, dozens of different types of events over the years, some of which even Secreto remembered.
Did you ever come here? What kind of stuff did you come to see?
Remember Rocky?
Yeah.
The first Rocky I've seen here.
His sister shared with him memories of seeing the Beatles movies released in the mid-1960s. But over the years, the Robinson Grand changed owners and changed names, becoming the Rose Garden as my generation knew it. And I knew it all too well. I danced in my first recital on that stage at age 5, portraying a cannibal in our retelling of the children's book Where the Wild Things Are. Danced to the 1980 classic Celebration as a munchkin in our community theater group's interpretation of The Wizard of Oz. And of course, we'll never forget that lead role as Wendy in Peter Pan. I recounted my own memories as Secreto took me on a tour of the building that, surprisingly, looked exactly as I had remembered it. Burgundy seat cushions, soundboard in the back of the house, signatures dating back to the late 80s of young actors and dancers covering the dressing room walls. And then...
Oh my gosh, here it is!
A signature that read, Ashton Mara, Wendy, 2002. A scribble in Sharpie I still remember making. Last month, Clarksburg City Council voted to purchase the building from its current owners for $430,000, something they've been working to do since 2005, says city manager Martin Howe.
This is not a process we just came up with or an endeavor we just came up with. It's been ongoing conversations over numerous years to actually acquire the theater. So we've reached out to multiple municipalities, some within the state, whom have been successful in acquiring the theater and then also renovating it, but also reaching out to other areas, kind of model how their theaters have been rehabilitated and also how they operate.
With the cash up front from the city, Howe says they'll also be applying for a $250 grant from the State Division of Culture and History and up to $3 million in federal U.S. Department of Agriculture loans to pay for the necessary upgrades. None of those upgrades, however, are structural, Howe says. The building itself, he says, is sound, but needs aesthetic improvements like new bathroom fixtures, paint, and seat cushions. In addition to how the theater looks, Howe says the city wants to make sure it's run well, something he says the city will need outside help to do. Clarksburg plans to set up a foundation to oversee any future capital projects and hire a professional theater management firm to handle day-to-day operations. But all of that is on hold until architectural and engineering firms enter their bids in coming weeks and negotiate renovation costs. But even with the large ticket price, Howe sees the value in what the theater can do for the city as a whole, bringing people and businesses back into a once thriving downtown that has since struggled. Secreto sees that too, and is hoping the theater can once again become the centerpiece of the city.
Yeah, because if they focus on this, make this the main thing in Clarksburg, it'd be unbelievable.
He says he'd love to once again sit in the back of the theater and watch the original Rocky, something he never thought possible. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Clarksburg.
And you can see a slideshow of the Rose Garden Theater, including a picture of Ashton's autograph on the theater wall on our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:40. Partly sunny skies today. Temperatures will be in the 60s and 70s. There's a slight chance of rain in the south overnight with lows in the 40s and 50s. A chance of rain with cloudy skies on Wednesday, highs in the 70s. Sunshine on Thursday with temperatures reaching the 80s. West Virginia Senator Jay Rockefeller has introduced two bills that are designed to generate more interest in clean coal technology. In a news release, Rockefeller says he's introduced the Carbon Capture and Sequestration Deployment Act of 2014 and the Expanding Carbon Capture through Enhanced Oil Recovery Act of 2014. The legislation would expand the tax credits and loans available for companies that develop technology to capture carbon dioxide. Rockefeller says the bills would be good for West Virginia because they allow for the continued use of coal as an energy source while addressing the problem of greenhouse gases. Burning coal is the biggest source of CO2 on the planet, but coal is also a big source of electricity, and it's big business here in West Virginia and Kentucky and Pennsylvania. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier found that carbon capture technology could hold the key to solving this riddle, but it still has several hurdles to overcome.
Tom Crooks walks through a brand new industrial building in Waynesburg in the southwest corner of the state. This is Pennsylvania's coal mining country. Some of the biggest mines in the state are right down the road. There are stacks of supplies and machinery in tidy bundles scattered throughout the floor.
You see drill steel, you see hoses, these are for spraying concrete.
Crooks is a vice president of the R.G. Johnson Company, which helps build coal mines in Pennsylvania and West Virginia.
We spray concrete on the ceiling to help hold up the mine roof. So a lot of what we do is concrete construction in the mines for the big infrastructure materials. So this, a concrete floor like you see right here that we're standing on, in the coal mine, we have concrete floors.
The company just built this new workshop. Crooks says it's a sign that the company thinks coal is here to stay. But there are signs the industry's prospects are tenuous. R.G. Johnson has 150 employees, but not everyone is working right now.
So we have anywhere from about 35 people laid off. So that's not what we want. We want to have 150 people working full-time all the time.
Crooks says federal carbon regulations are partly to blame. A recent UN climate report found the world will need to drastically cut CO2 emissions to stave off runaway global warming. To cut emissions in the U.S., the EPA recently proposed requirements that new coal plants use carbon capture and sequestration. This is a technology that takes CO2 produced from coal combustion and pumps it underground. And the EPA is in the process of writing regulations for existing plants that could also require carbon capture. This has the coal industry worried. Carbon capture is expensive, and it's still in its developmental stage. Last summer, First Energy closed two coal-fired power plants in Pennsylvania, saying compliance with current and future environmental regulations would simply cost too much to keep them open. Crooks sees this as part of a broader trend.
The reality of it is that the industry would be much more healthy if it weren't for the potential of the regulations.
This has politicians from coal states, like Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett, on the offensive. At a recent coal industry conference, Corbett lashed out against the EPA's carbon regulations.
We need to work with the industry and not in opposition to the industry. Simply regulating coal out of existence doesn't solve anything.
Corbett told the industry executives in the crowd that he's confident new technology can reduce coal's carbon footprint. He invoked the SPACE program, which has developed an international space station and landed a Mars rover.
If we can do that, you can't tell me that it's not possible, given the time and given the right approach and given help from Washington, that we can't come up with a solution of cleaner air and getting rid of greenhouse emissions.
Carbon capture has been around for a while, but there are only a handful of full-scale projects implementing the technology right now. The first carbon capture coal plant in the U.S. is under construction in Mississippi, but that plant is billions over budget and behind schedule. Carbon capture is energy intensive and requires multiue steps to get the carbon out of the flue gas and into a compressed form that can be pumped underground. Michael Matuszewski of the Department of Energy's National Energy and Technology Lab near Pittsburgh says part of the difficulty with developing the technology is CO2's chemical makeup. It doesn't make it very easy to work with.
CO2 is a lazy molecule. It doesn't really want to do a lot chemically. And so it's difficult to manipulate in that sense.
All of these added steps would make coal-fired electricity about 40% more expensive to produce. Howard Herzog, an engineer at MIT, says the problem with carbon capture isn't necessarily technology, it's policy. Without a price on carbon emissions, either through a cap and trade system or a carbon tax, carbon capture isn't price competitive.
But if you do something like put a market price on it, then I think coal has a fighting chance with this technology.
But putting a price on carbon has been tough in the U.S. A plan in 2010 to pass a cap-and-trade system died in the Senate and won't be taken up again anytime soon. Without a price on carbon, the Obama administration has used the EPA regulation to try to address climate change. Herzog says he thinks the coal industry could thrive under a carbon tax or cap-and-trade system.
I think coal will do better in the U.S. I think coal will do better under a carbon price than it will under the path we're going down now, because the path we're going down now is coal's in everybody's target, and they, you know, they're basically trying to get coal out of the marketplace in any way they can.
At a conference in Pittsburgh, a few hundred geologists and engineers gathered to compare notes on carbon capture projects all over the world. Philip Jagucki of Schlumberger Carbon Services says his company is already pumping compressed carbon dioxide into sandstone at a demonstration project in Illinois.
The goal of the project was to inject 1 million tons of CO2, and we're at 800,000 tons right now. The project is expected to finish in November of 2014.
He thinks the progress at his and other projects means that carbon sequestration isn't too far off.
Well, it's definitely not far in the future because we're doing it right now. I mean, we know how to do it.
Jagucki says there are technical aspects that still need to be improved, like pulling CO2 out of the smokestack. Solving these problems is a critical step to help combat climate change, says John Thompson of the Clean Air Task Force.
Yeah, coal is so abundant, it is so inexpensive, it is so energy dense that someone is going to use it. And the issue isn't whether we're going to have coal or not. The issue is whether we're going to continue to use it in a way that kills the planet. And we have a choice.
Back in Waynesburg, Tom Crooks says his biggest fear is the transition period it'll take to fully incorporate carbon capture. He's afraid the new EPA mandates will give electric generators a reason to stay away from coal.
When we put this, what's really going to amount to at least a several-year pause in power generators trying to figure out what they should do, they're not going to sit still. They're going to go ahead and build a gas power plant, or they're going to go ahead and do something else. But whatever it is, it won't be coal.
For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.